of a leaf, and Pax was there beside him, a small bulge under his armpit, pretending to decipher the falling snow. I sneezed bullshit and went on my merry way. I think I saw him crack a smile. He likes me. Guess I'm a nice and cosy reminder of Hyperion amongst all the deranged giants. Seffi says you told her I needed a workplace. Can't you see I'm working? Are you? Shut up. Not my fault they're stubborn. I gesture to his chin. Drop your guard. Valdir might be a great warrior, but he is a bad teacher, he says. He thinks that being louder makes him clearer. Osgard, on the other hand, makes his lessons into games. Thought he didn't like his lessons either. Aren't they all just purposeless distractions from the oh-so-necessary war? He shrugs. Prepubescent temper tantrum, though the thesis is true. So you haven't stabbed anyone lately? No. Electra got territorial, he smiles. Their complaints may be valid, but I suspect their solution is flawed. The timing dreadful for the Republic, and deleterious to existing internal class tensions regarding the matriarchal hierarchy. But there's little I can do but go along. He doesn't mention his parents, though I know they are always on his mind. Electra is far more at home here than I am. Well, you got more on your mind, and more of a mind than old Hatchetface. Neither of us mentions Mercury, but that we're both thinking it creates some awkward tension. So, what's the curriculum? Actually, everything about obsidians except violence. So, drinking, shagging, gambling and eating. He watches me in amusement. I miss anything? Sparka, he says. In the Gaul, quiet and wise are the same word. So, if I say, man ni sparka, it means that man is not quiet, and thus stupid and loud. Wait, you're saying it's Seffi the Wise? To them. I was about to say it's the worst moniker ever. All she does is talk about her old tribe. She was silent for more than 30 years. You should try it. You might learn something. I liked you better when I was unconscious. Speaking of which, you got it? He pulls the thin chain around his neck to show me my engagement ring. Some arsehole's stuff to do to a man in withdrawal. Pretty fucked up, young man. I'm not as young as I look. Uncle Severo used the stuff for a spell. Zolodone, I mean. Did he know? The rat war was hard on everyone. He's not really a goblin. He's actually very sweet. I'll be sure to tell him that if he ever catches up to me. Pax holds a ring, contemplating if it is time to give it back. Hold on for it for me, I say. He tilts his head. Got to be responsible to someone. He grins. Now get. I got to earn some liberty for two ladies. I hesitate. Glad you like the garage. He makes his lessons into games, he calls after me. I mutter to myself as I walk back to the obsidians, just as a Scoogie with a cleft lip tries to convince the bloodhound that he lived on Pluto before he had pubic hair. The green supervisors titter to themselves. Get out of here, you're worthless, I shout at them. They scurry away, making faces at one another in response to some subliminal communication between their cranial implants. Anyone have a pack of Karachi cards? The Scoogie do not answer. Come on, I know you're a bunch of gambling degenerates, even if your spirits are pure as snow. You! I point at Freyhild. Today she wears ghastly jade earrings. Good kind. I am Freyhild, she says, knowing I know her name. I am good kind, the man with the cleft lip says. I think it's a woman, actually. Nope, a man. He's got a beard. Wait, do some obsidian women have beards? Freyhild, girl, you look like you got shit out on aurochs. She doesn't. But the best thing that can be said about my new appointment is the vast potential for cursing at Scoogie killers without fear of physical dismemberment. Give me your cards. No cards, she replies, unable to take that devilish gleam from her eye. I thought she'd make a fine liar. Turns out she can't turn it off. She just always looks smug as a fox in a hen hutch. Liar. Fine. Whoever gives me cards first gets a pass on Argo homework and 100 credits to gamble away down in Olympia. 10 obsidians rush forward. Freyhild pulls out a pack too. You sly minx. I knew you were lying. Go to the bleeding place and sit in the center for 2,000 breaths. I look at the rest of them. You do not lie to your Tessarius, you sorry sacks of offal. Lying to your Tessarius is akin to killing a baby. They don't react. Have they killed babies? Akin to lying to Sephi. Do you understand? They glower. Akin to lying to Valdir. There, that's the right comparison. Freyhild hasn't moved. You deaf, brave? Her eyes widen a millimeter. Gold spirits live in bleeding place. I grin. So I hear. I do not have shaman wards. Move your arse. And no tiny red breaths, obsidian breaths. She slouches away. I grab a pack from another obsidian and sit on the floor. Freyhild, I am Gudkind. He points to the woman I just sent away. That was Freyhild, which you know. Thrall, no Freyhild, because she is deft in all things. Right. Fetch me Xenophon. He's in the war hall. Sorry, Var Hall. Gudkin breaks into a loping sprint. I smile to myself and look around into the 198 frightening faces who watch me as if I'm about to pull a snake out of my boot. Who's the best at Karachi here? Freyhild. For she is deft in all things. For she learned at the hip of Valdir the ways of the axe and Screwface in the ways of cards. So Freyhild was Valdir's student. Scandalous. I stare at the brave, utterly annoyed. Jove on high. Who else? I pick 5 from the ones with packs. Everyone else fall in. Bear witness to slaughter. Come on, pack in. Unable to crowd together for fear of touching, they align themselves according to height. Stupid goals and their cultural departments must have had a riot thinking that one up. I shuffle the octagonal cards, throwing in a couple of tricks that made rising coldies croon. I deal them out. They had a saying in the free leg, as easy as taking chit from a coldie. They've heard it before. Now, I know you lot love your cards. Problem is, you're not any good at it. The whites believe Karachi is their game because they invented it to fit their skill set. That's why half of you are in for a quarter kilo of gold at the gambling dens down in the city. They count the cards in their heads, so they always know their chances and they bet accordingly. All their dealers do it. Simple statistical probability. Xenophon pushes through the obsidians, looking dishevelled. His voice is flat. I was in the middle of an audit on the assimilation camp. You play Karachi, right, Xenophon? The Logos's eyes lose their glaze and do a little dance. It's a little early, no? Education has no schedule. Then let yours begin. The Logos doffs a fine midnight coat, pulls their midnight robes and sits cross-legged. A coin file appears in their hand and they push the release, spilling gold stamped with stars on the floor. Deal me in, if you dare. So that's how we get your blood moving. Comets are low. No third draw, 5 limit. I deal the cards. 40 minutes later, I own Xenophon's coat and coins. 17 obsidian warrior torques, 14 sets of earrings, and a custom pulse fist carved to look like a dragon's mouth. Can anyone tell me what just happened? I ask them. Bald robbery, Xenophon says in customary drone. The Logos shivers, missing the jacket as wind comes off the mountain. It's the first time I've noticed how thin Xenophon is, built almost like a salamander. I only won 2 hands of 7, I say. You won 3. Why do I have all the chit? Because you cheated on the last hand. I imagine there is a card shooter on your wrist. I pull back my sleeves to reveal no card shooter. Then an ambidex. The Logos takes a card in hand and bends it in half. No permutation of pixels in the card surfaces. Xenophon played cards, you played Xenophon, Freyhill says with an apologetic smile for the Logos. I look up at the pretty obsidian. The ghost didn't get you, I see. I glance at Pax, who watches from a low wall. I saw him follow Freyhild. Boy just can't stand staying out of other people's business. Or maybe he's just gathering his own intel. Mother rubbed off on him, I see. Freyhild. Yeah? You're still a liar, but you're right. Someone starts to say Freyhild is deft in all things. Yeah, shut up. You nailed it. I played Xenophon, and now you deserve to have your name remembered, Freyhild, deft in some things. She looks loftily at the other Skugi. Goodkind gives her a powerful nod, like she just killed a foe. That means a compliment from me is worth something. So maybe I read them wrong. Maybe they don't distrust me down to my very marrow after all. Pinks are the best players of Karachi in the world. Not whites, not coppers, not reds, I say. The only people that could hold a candle to them were those gold snakes on the Palatine. Lies were their first musical instrument. But I've seen even the Fury herself lose 100 billion credits to Quicksilver's Rose on the Lone Star Bluff. They guffaw. A cunning foe like Atalantia would not lose to a pink. Goodkin says, offended. She did, Xenophon confirms, at the Aristotle Club. January 11th, 732 PCE. Were you robbing the place, Mr. Horn? Security, arsehole. Not even I'd rob one of Atalantia's clubs. I look back to Goodkin. So the Fury lost. How, you ask? Goodkin blinks. I did not ask anything. Rhetorical. Freyhild says. Ah, he vaguely remembers the lesson. May I continue now? Yeah. I wait for Goodkin to correct himself. Yes. Rhetorical again. Mind the sarcasm, Freyhild says. It is all he speaks. I continue. Everything you need to know about Karachi can be found in the faces of the other players, in the breathing, the blinking, the talking, the silence, the deviation from any pattern. Obviously, don't be a mule's tit and bet the bank on a minor star match, but if you've got a lock on your opponent, you're on high street. Now, you lot have the most paralysed faces this side of a silvers at a slave auction, but your body language gives you away. I jab a finger out. Hammerhead over there started heaving like a 30-year-old virgin soon as he got that major star run. Skeleton here got squinty when she tried to bluff with a lone high comet. Even Xenophon has a tick. You lot read the snow as kids, right? They nod. And the wind and beast droppings and whatever else was on your pole. Reading people is no different, but it is everything. It will tell you if you can bribe a person, intimidate, manipulate, bamboozle, befuddle, seduce. Killing is easier sometimes, but rarely better in the line of work you'll be doing. Killing removes an obstacle. And what are obstacles? Potential assets? Freyhild leads half the Skugi in answering. Exactly, I beam. That is how the Sons of Ares toppled the greatest war machine that ever existed. That is how I kidnapped the Reaper's only son. Heeg. Heeg, they echo. Some, including Freyhild, touch their foreheads at the word Reaper. Now, the other colours have practised lying since birth. Bullshit is a vernacular of cities. Goodkind over there probably thinks whores actually like his Venusian earrings. They make huge, guttural sounds. I flinch, thinking they're about to kill me. No, it's just 200 obsidian assassins laughing their arses off. A few of them take a knee and wipe their eyes. Right, no sexual mores here. Goodkind does love whores, Freyhill says. He is deft in many things, especially whores. Goodkind nods. I do. I am. It is no lie. They are such delight for my spirit. Well, everyone's got a hobby. I absently pat his arm. They freeze. I swallow and take my hand off him. Goodkind laughs and pats my shoulder. Indeed. A hobby. My hobby is whores. I manage to press on. By the time I'm through with you, you'll be such lie detectors, you'll never be able to go to another brothel without having an existential crisis. The word doesn't translate. Without losing your packs. You still here? Andy, he calls from the wall. Without losing your Andy, your spirit. Now, I light a match. The wind blows it out. Freyhild kneels and cups her hands to shelter the next match from the wind. Making progress here. I light two burners and flip her one, then Goodkind two for equality and all that. Now, I don't wager physical pain will make a tick's prick a difference to you, so we'll put the pain where it counts. Today, we play Karachi until you're all poor as reds or learn to read people just as well as snow. And to make sure it's real, you will each make real bets, backed by your war hoard. I know you're all bloody millionaires, or were before you found Jewel Street down in the city, so break into groups of seven and get started. It is the fastest they've ever obeyed me. As they form into groups, I sense movement on a balcony in the war wing of Griffinhold. Valdir stands flanked by his braves, watching Freyhild laughing as she forms up a group of Skoogie for cards. They all seem to be competing for the chance to play against her. The look on Valdir's face is not one of anger, but something far more complicated. Then his eyes flick to me, and his face betrays him again. He knows I saw how he looked at Freyhild. Man might be used to everyone thinking he's a walking death god, but if Seffi saw him looking at the young Skoogie like that, I'm not sure how long he'd be walking. Something about the Queen tells me she isn't exactly the sharing kind. Careful, Mr. Horn, Xenophon says as Valdir goes back inside. If I have learned one thing, it is that obsidians are predators who think they are prey. Never pit them against one another. Didn't dream of it. Good. Valdir seems to like you. Thought he was all about the old ways. You ain't exactly that. Xenophon shivers from the cold. Out of pity, I return the midnight cloak. The Logos nods in thanks. I was a slave of Atlas Aura since my graduation from the Mentor. It was Valdir who found me in a pitiable state. I have proven my worth to Seffi many times over, including against Peerless. The word sounds like a curse on those thin lips. I also advocated she remain with Darrow. So whose idea was all this nonsense? All tribe and whatnot. The shamans. Xenophon blinks very quickly. The same tick I spotted when they disliked the cards in their hand. He also advocated for hiring you against my advice. But I serve the Queen, as do you. And when her mind is made up, the only way is forward. Thank you for the cards. I look forward to analyzing the data. The white bows. Until our next game. What begins as an awkward, contrived hilarity soon becomes an actual lesson. As the obsidians play, they act, guffaw, boast and lie, not well, but by the end of the day of my poking and prodding, five or six could beat one or two lowlifes I knew on Luna. I partake in several games, and even let Freyhild beat me on a hand so deep she wins back all I took during my demonstration. After that, going on 2200, I call it a day, and the braves tilt their chins up to me in respect as they pass. "It is called skill gift," Freyhild drawls to me. She's the last in the courtyard besides Pax. "Much was hidden from us by the Golds. Many of my people have had their war treasure lost to Reds and Greys. It is a dishonor to us. You give us a chance to reclaim honor with this skill gift. This pleases my brothers and sisters, and me. Even Screwface would lose to you in cards, I believe." "That's just a tool," I say. "Won't be protecting the old tribe with a game of cards." "I know." She lingers for a moment, appraising me. "My brothers and sisters do not trust you." Baldir seems to share that opinion. She watches me, trying to understand what I mean. "I would be careful speaking of Valdir, even in respect. He is big brother, our protector and pride. If he doubts you, it is because he senses weakness. He is protective of our queen, as am I." She sticks a thumb in her chest. "My tribe was destroyed when Sephi joined the Rising. I had no people. Then Sephi gave me Veer again. Purpose. She gave us all purpose. You will not betray her."
Is that a threat or a prophecy?
"I do not believe in prophecy," she smiles. "I know it is old way. Spirits in bleeding place," she makes a face. "Superstition enslaved my people. I pretend because I must, and because my queen needs my faith. My tribe needs my faith. Tomorrow we will learn better. The next day, better still. We have much more to do for tribe." Pax watches Freyhild disappear inside the barracks and comes over to me. "She's sleeping with Valdir," he says. I squint at him. He taps his ears. Their hearts beat faster when they're in the same room. He taps his nose, and she has his scent today. I light a burner. Figured. "Do you think Sephi has?" he asks. "Not our war, little man. Where's the she-devil?" "Probably playing with axes." He looks lonely. I tousle his hair, surprising him. I do it harder till he swats at me. "You really are a good egg, aren't you?" He straightens his hair. "Why'd you say that? General comportment, and you haven't asked me to break you out of here. Could you?" His bodyguard of six Valkyrie watches us from a portico. The biggest, Braga, spits toward me. "Rule number one, kid, always have insurance. You think I got you the garage so you could play with bikes?" He perks up. "What do you say we get wild drunk and I show you the schematics for a certain harness we'll be needing if things start to go south? You can even tell me some crazy stories about your old man if we've time." He's wary of me. "I have work to do in the garage. Speeder's got a fuel cell leak." "Then why'd you hang around here all day? Come on." He tilts his head. "I suppose I could multitask if you can picnic." I grin. "Sounds like a plan, little man."
Chapter 29. Virginia. The Dust of Reverie. Apokel Bell sings mournfully out the window as I sit on the edge of my son's bed in darkness. It smells like him. Machine oil and pine nettles. His gizmos form a pile on a dark workbench at the far window, next to a shelf crammed with souvenirs my husband brought from his campaigns. Hydra eggshells from Africa, sun petals from Mercury, coral growth from the thermic sea. But no totems of war, as if my husband wanted to pretend he'd gone to explore instead of kill. Pax's clothes still hang in the closet. His shoes line the wall, laces still tied, the back squished down. One day he'll wear them again, but hopefully never learn to wear them properly. Bring my son back to me, and I'll leave Luna, I pray. But who hears a prayer to no one? Not Victra. She believes only in the power of herself. I hope it is enough. It must be enough. Out the gabled window, water laps against the stone stairs that lead down to the lake. Beyond the shadowed trees, the estate's Lion Guard detail patrol, here only to protect Deanna, Darrow's mother. She hates Luna, but lingers here as if knowing Darrow will need her when he comes back. I turn over an enigmatic device I find under Pax's pillow, something he built from the parts of six others. He had a meeting scheduled with Quicksilver to try to market it for his consumer products division. Was it for this? I activate its trigger, and it emits a soft hum. I angle the concave projector toward myself and dip into a stream of opera. I tilt it away, and the stream disappears. Elegant. He built that for you. I look up and see Deanna at the door. He thought you could have your guards use it on you in all those meetings of yours. Always thinking of others. I set the device down on the bedside table. It's a fly in amber, I say. The rooms that remain. When your husband died, what did you do with his possessions? She leans against the doorframe. It tires her to stand too much these days. Barely over 50, she's had a hard life. Used what we could. Bartered the rest for rations. Darrow liked to eat. She searches my face. I've spent enough time in the past, love. The dead need no tears. They don't rest easier for our vengeance or our guilt, she shrugs. They'd want us to live. And life's about the now and the future, eh? Dale gave me 3 wee ones to remember him by. I'm lucky at that. And they gave me more wee ones to love. And they're all still breathing, far as I know, so don't start wallowing now. We've got our family to save, here. I think you might be the only person alive who still scolds me, I say. That's because I'm the only one you still need to impress, she says with a grin. Now off your arse, lass. The man's just landing and he's gonna be mad as a pitter at me. Laughter comes from outside the house. The front door opens with a creak. An engine powers down. Shuffling footsteps come my way. Dancer limps with Deanna around the kitchen corner. His smile dies as soon as he sees me. Well, ain't this the dirtiest of traps? Dancer says. Since when did you stoop to politics, Deanna? He turns to leave, but Deanna blocks him. Don't be a bloody damn idiot. Either of you. You've been like 2 bickering hands. It's embarrassing. Now, sit, she snaps. Grumbling, Dancer takes a seat across from me. Deanna shuffles to the stove and ladles out 3 bowls of beef stew. I slaved over this for hours. By the time you're done eating, you will have come to an agreement. Or I'll be back here to paddle the shit out of your ears here. Now, I've got pants to patch. Can't have Pax coming back to holes in his knees as well as his family. When Dancer found out from the media that Pax had gone with Victor on vacation to Mars, he was not pleased at missing a chance to say farewell to my son. He was as much a grandfather to the boy as Kavax was. A cruel ruse, but necessary to dispel his curiosity at Pax's sudden disappearance. We linger in awkward silence. I've always felt very much a slaver in the old Red's eyes, guilty for my height, my health, and suddenly feeling foolish for the expense of my clothes. Dressed in a scuffed brown jacket, leather boots, and drab grey pants, the resilient man makes no airs. In fact, he more resembles a Martian agriculturalist than the terrorist captain, who became a senator, who became a tribune. He sits down to shovel stew in his mouth to get it over with. I join him. He pauses. That third bowl isn't for Deanna, is it? He looks around warily, focusing on the open window and the dark gardens outside. Patchel Bell twitter in the trees.
You're like a desiccated turd, old man.
Dancer wheels about as Severo parts from the shadows near the pantry. Must be hard holding back a fleet all by your lonesome.
Severo, you are one stupid bastard. Says the pot to the kettle.
Severo sits on the counter, one leg dangling off. Dancer glances to the hallway that leads to the front atrium.
I brought a cohort of wardens. If they saw you here, at the scene of the crime...
Nah.
Severo draws Tickler from his boot and starts cutting his nails.
Those blue capes hate getting dirty almost as much as the pixies wearing them.
They're burning down the city chasing after you.
Instead of chasing the syndicate, Severo replies.
Well done, them.
In case you've forgotten, Wolfgar founded them, just as you did the Howlers. This time they'll go for the kill.
Then don't invite them in, I say, annoyed. Severo will behave. Virginia, now is not the time for the Sovereign to be sharing stew with fugitives, no matter who they are, or how untouchable she thinks she is.
A fugitive leads our best army, I remind him.
Lass, don't false equivocate. Mercury ain't lunar. This is supposed to be the heart of law and order. At current tally, that human right there is wanted for 68 counts of homicide and 100 more capital offences, half of which are against the state.
Severo just stares at him. I will not reduce my office to meeting with secret cabals. That is beneath us now. We are not the son of Ares. We are legitimate. I will act that way, even if you do not.
He heads for the door, wanting so hard to be legitimate.
Pax and Electra didn't go with Victra to Mars. They were kidnapped by the Syndicate, I say.
He freezes.
That's why Severo has been on Luna. That's why he's in this room, amongst other reasons.
Dancer blinks, processing, then exhales and slumps back into his seat in pain. I glance at Severo. He watches Dancer without even a hint of affection.
When? Dancer asks.
After Quicksilver's birthday.
Sadly, I know the date.
His lips make a tight line beneath his beard.
That explains a few irregularities. So you and Darrow would have found out after Venus?
Severo just watches, so I nod.
And he still went to Mercury.
Apex arsehole, right?
Severo chimes.
Please stop, I say. Dancer doesn't let it go either.
Coming back to his men is one of the only good and true things he's done in the last year, Severo, which is more than I can say for you.
Dancer glares and looks down the hall to the sitting room. His eyes linger on the hearth where Deanna knits. It broke my heart, but not my expectations, that some Red saw my boy as a perversion.
Dancer never did, no matter what he thinks of me.
He would sit with Pax on his knee by the fire, smoking his pipe as my boy slept. Did it right up to the age where he'd be the one to fall asleep, and Pax would put the pipe out for him and tuck a blanket under his grizzled chin. Dancer is thinking of the passage of time, how many years ago that was, and wondering where they all went. I know, because the same thought monopolizes so many of my own hours.
So tell me, how badly are you compromised? He asks.
I'm not the one who is compromised, I say. He frowns as I pull the data drop from my pocket. I've long suspected that the Syndicate Queen was working for, or in conjunction with, another party. Possibly one within our government. Thanks to Theodora and a new method of interrogation, I've uncovered evidence.
You know who she is?
He asks warily. No. Unfortunately, she doesn't even trust her dukes with that information, but there have been revelations.
Show him, Severo says.
I tell the data drop to play. Severo scoots forward, so he's within the three-dimensional perimeter of the hollow. Memories are imperfect. They bleed into each other. We skitter through fragments of his life. The Duke is at the beach one moment, bending to pick something up. Then he is riding in a shuttle, speaking to his queen. Her face is obscured with a mask that writhes with what looks like locusts. It was too much to hope for a perfect look at her face, but I'll get one soon enough. We have her location, but first we will make sure our own house is in order. Finally, a hotel suite expands around us, faded where the Duke of Han's peripheral vision ends. The ceiling is the clearest, carved with cupids and forest creatures. Candles float beneath the ceiling, dripping down wax. Heavy breathing comes from the memory, the sound of sheets clenched as the breaths quickens to agonizing climax. Then, a perspective distortion that makes the cupids grow larger than the closer candles. Spasmodic psychedelic light pixelates the cupids above, dissolving their bodies. They drift for what must be a minute, before racing back together. Focus pulses out, then in. Breath eases out, and a man's head rises upward, laying kisses on the Duke's chest until Dancer's face fills the memory as he closes his eyes to kiss the Duke on the mouth. "It seems reveries are imperfect," I say. Auditory recall is extremely flawed. So are actions. They reflect latent guilt, and sometimes alter to seem more heroic. Faces, on the other hand, are almost never forgotten. The colours are often different depending upon the time extract, the mood more magnetic or colder. A brain is not a hard drive. The spaces between, that jumped, you noticed, are, well, I guess no one has ever called them anything before. Let's name them fissures. The fissures are the time between the memories we retain. I've not had long to make a reconnaissance. Some span minutes, some weeks. Most reveries are laced with fissures. I only found this one because it was entirely intact. He cherished this memory, it seems. Unfortunately, a hologram is a poor means of communicating the memory. Prime fidelity occurs from sympathetic shadowing. I tap my head. Literally experiencing it, I assure you, it is quite strange. How? Dancer asks, his face flushed a deep crimson, his outsized minor hand a squeezing at the edge of the table. The wood is starting to splinter as he stares at the reverie. I have technology that maybe one, probably two others are familiar with, though not to my degree of sophistication, I don't think. But there on Mercury. I meant, how is that any of your bloody damn business? He growls, looking at me like he's about to lunge forward and rip out my jugular. Severo slips closer to my side, as surprised as I am by his venomous reaction. You think you can blackmail me with this for my vote? Ruin me? Drag me in front of the Branders like some poetic horror? I don't care if my people spit on me, if they say I should be gelded, if you rob away the only thing that matters to me, slag you. Even Severo is rocked on his heels by the anger in Dancer's eyes. I made a mistake. The moment the video started to play, Dancer thought this was a shakedown. He kept this secret his entire life, because the only people left in mankind to look at homosexuality as an aberration just happened to be his own, while the one that embraces fluidity is the one he's warred against for most of his life. That one has sculpted his culture as they saw fit. Mine. He thought I was threatening to expose his inner life. Knowing he thought me that cruel is a jarring blow. Severo is there to pick up the slack. You really ain't got a clue, he mutters. It ain't about that, boyo. Dancer looks ready to kill. Then, what is it about? Just that the man you were, you know, playing hide the viper with, is third in line to the throne of the syndicate. That's all, I swear. Dancer goes sheet white, anger vaporized in a snap of the fingers, replaced by sheer bafflement. His mouth opens and closes. What? The syndicate. Blackcoats. Prostitution. Child slavery. Narcotics. Hired murder. Kidnapping. You know the lot. Sort of the worst people on the moon.
That, he looks at the data drop, was the Duke of Hands. He sits motionless. Shit. He rocks his head back. Shit. Severo and I exchange a glance. Dancer eases out a breath. You two thought I knew. That I was his accomplice. She didn't, Severo says. I did, sorry. He backs away to the counter, as if distance will erase the memory of Dancer wanting to rip his throat out. Forget malice or anger. All should beware the wrath of an offended soul. She insisted we talk before, you know. So, his name is Faustus. Or I thought it was. Found me in the park. You know I can't stand all these buildings. He told me he was a painter. Face like that, you'd believe anything. But I know the games. I don't keep intel at my home, or talk in my sleep, even for someone like that. He nods to me. Your father's agents were cruel teachers. We learned to be careful. Got sloppy though, eh? Severo says. Are you that good in the sack? Dancer doesn't speak for a moment. Guess I thought I deserved something good. I was off and on for a couple of months. I told him I wanted it to stay on, then he disappeared. He plays with his knuckles. Do you think I put Pax in jeopardy? No, I say. You didn't have our flight plan. He might not have wanted anything from you, I say. It might just have been the association. I believe you were the foreman. Steal the children. Release this to me. Or to the public. Bet your DNA is all over that little love crib, Severo says. Dancer looks at him in irritation. Hey, you did the deed. Syndicate probably took video too. All the good angles. We both look at him. He literally fucked a terrorist. I can say what I want. What does the syndicate want with the children? Dancer asks. They don't have them. I tell him all I know, including how the obsidian must have reached the downed shuttle before my mended, and Seffi's intended plan. When I have finished, he leans back and rubs his jaw. In the wake of the revelation, he's demure. Gods, letting them take the mines is a risk. What if they use blunt force? He asks. A storm on Mercury is one thing, but war bands of obsidian on Mars. Seffi has seen what insurrections do to militaries. She won't alienate the populace. I hope not. But you're right about one thing. We need the obsidian. You want me to convince the Reds of Cimmeria to get on with Seffi, I take it. Not for free, I say. I need you to convince the Reds to do it in return for Seffi giving them the share of the mine profits Quicksilver stole. It will be a partnership. And if I vote to let the Reaper die on Mercury, I won't be able to convince them of anything. The Reds of Mars will think I've become a Lunese. Correct. Question, Severo says. If Dance is the Red Herring, then who do you think the Queen's partner is? Who are they trying to protect? It could only be one man. If Dancer was set up to fall, if Pax was meant to get leverage over me, I say, cui bono. The most immediate effect is a power vacuum in the forum, so it must be a senator. With my son out for ransom, I'd be compromised, so the tribunes would vote for a new Daxo, Severo sneers. Oh, shut up, I say. He's put off. If anyone is an insidious mastermind, it is that obelisk of a human. Octavia did want him alive. She's right, Dancer said. Wouldn't be Daxo. Wouldn't be me if they released this. It'd be compromise. They'd need 2/3 vote. Vox would block Daxo. Optimates would block any Vox. It'd have to be someone both parties would agree on. Someone the public would accept. Someone incorruptible. That gas bag, Severo says. No way he's a criminal mastermind. Publius is allied with the Queen, I say. I feel the certainty forming in me.
10 years ago, Publius was no one, just a public defender for low colours. How did he rise so high, so fast, with no benefactors, no campaign donors? Is it so impossible to believe that someone came to him years ago and offered him the world if he would only answer the call when it came? Is it so impossible I could have been fooled by someone so close? No, I make mistakes all the time. And thinking of how he left Daxo's office with that comment on the decor, I realize it wasn't an offhand remark from the mouth of Babe. It was a taunt. All his years of crafting that incorruptible reputation suddenly makes sense. He's not going to vote with me. It's a trap. With the silvers I lost, and no coppers or followers of Publius, no fleet will sail. The vote is tomorrow, I say. Even if we had evidence on him, it wouldn't matter. He's too popular. We take steps to gather evidence, isolate him.
And if he is indeed a collaborator with the Queen, with Atalantia...
Dancer's aspect darkens at that. We will bring him down with all the proper and legal might of Moonhall. But for now, we must address the issue. The enemies of our Republic expect us to be divided. They found the fault lines between us, and they jammed a wedge in. We must stand together. Dancer, I need your trust, and I need your votes.
You think Atalantia did this through the Queen? He asks.
Her or Atlas must have coordinated with her in some way. I don't know which, but it is a gold hand holding the strings. They seek to turn us on one another. Dancer looks at the data drop. Before I can react, Severo smashes it to dust.
Far as we're concerned, boyo.
Dancer stares down at the dust of the reverie.
I believed I was dirt once, he says slowly. For these.
He tilts up his sigils.
And this.
And traces shapes through the dust, and his voice loses the learned words and the sharpened consonants as he sinks back into the mines.
Was my own clan that did me wrong.
His heavy eyes flick up.
Didn't know that, did ya? They burned off me what makes a man a man. Ares found me bleeding to death in a tunnel.
He knew what they'd done. He fixed me in more ways than one. But he did one better. He taught me it was gold that broke us. Taught me red could matter. Taught me I mattered.
10 years I never saw his face.
He looks up at Severo. When he took that helmet off to you, to me, and I saw gold,
I wept worse than when they gilded me. First man who said I wasn't broken was the master, the slaver. Hit me good, right here.
He thumps a chest with a flat hand, and I saw it hit him.
I wasn't his best. I wasn't his favourite. But I was the only one who believed like he did. Was me that chose Darrow.
Was me that had the keys to Tinos.
He swallows. Boy, that father of yours never judged me, except by what I'd done. Began to understand I owed him the same. Made a choice then. I'd stand before him. Him that freed me. Him that made me different. Made me a force. And I'd tell him what he told me long before. A man is his actions. Not his blood.
He looks back at the remains of the data drop in sorrow that even now he still hides his truth.
The jackal came before I got that chance. That is the greatest regret of my life. Your pa was my hero then and he is my hero now. I knew I'd never see his like again.
I was wrong. Dancer blows the reverie dust from the table and stands to look up at me. Ares dreamed of individual freedom because of his son and his red wife. Darrow dreamed of a world without monsters. Dancer's private dream was more delicate. He believed it was gold who made his people wicked, and without gold they could be good. Bit by bit, he's seen reality wither that dream on the vine. But now that he knows it was still a golden hand poisoning the soil, making him indict the very object of his faith, doubt the mission of his life. Inside the stalwart chest awakens his holy wrath.
There is the warrior. Got a lot of hate in me, he says in a low growl. Got a lot of fear that you won't ever understand. But none of it's for you, Virginia. We'll disagree again soon, I'm damn sure of that. But if our enemies think we'll devour each other, nah. Today my sovereign is the Lionheart, and tomorrow she will have my votes. We will rescue the free legions. About bloody damn time, Severo says.
Chapter 30. Virginia. Ocular Sphere. To see them from above, the roving herds of beasts, the rivers carving stone, the rituals of man in all their varied panoply, to see the clouds roil over the patchwork latifundia of Asian plains, to see the mines of our home, is to remember the patterns of the world, and the majesty and complication and impermeable obscurity of distant lands. It is to remember how few people you know, how many do not know you, how many will soon forget you, how many praise you today to offer contempt tomorrow. Permanence of fame, power, dominion of the individual are illusions. All that will be measured, all that will last, is your mastery of yourself. This is what my father told me. It was his warning about power, though he sought it to his end. I've never understood how a man so wise could be so undone by himself. Perhaps I never will, and that is what has always frightened me. Not that I cannot control my own fate, that is impossible, but that I cannot control myself. Now I stand without him, wondering if he should be my compass when he could not even follow his own needle, and the roar of the distant ocean fills my ears. I watch the earth turn from the ocular sphere, a glass chamber suspended atop the highest pinnacle of the citadel of light. Created by the master maker Glirastes, like too many other wonders, it floats like a teardrop escaping upward to heaven from the tip of a bronze sword. Octavia would often come here for her meditation and solitude. Of course, as an outsider, I would not insinuate myself upon her here when she would wrap herself up in that psycho-mystic credo she taught lonely Lysander, the mind's eye. I would wait for her, thumbing through intelligence reports in the library below, or discoursing with Moira, or entertaining Atalantia with the newest gossip I'd plucked for her ravenous appetite. But Octavia is gone, and Lysander swallowed by the great expanse with Cassius. Though my opinions of Cassius are weighted and complex, and not understood completely even by myself, I hope they found happiness out there. There was so little of it for them here. The sphere is mine now, as are so many of Octavia's trophies. It is a hollow oddity, that possession. While she lived, these talismans and icons of hers, her dawn scepter, Silene Manor, the sphere, the pandemonium chair, the sovereignty itself, were wrapped in mystery and portent. As if they held some great secret of life that I was too young, too foolish to possess. I craved them so much, maybe as much as my father craved for whatever his desire actually was. But now, in possessing them, I see them for what they are, and they all feel lesser for that possession, as does indeed the world itself. The scepter is a hunk of iron, Silene Manor a house, the sphere a clever device, the chair a dangerous tool. Cities are measured by cold statistics of consumption and output, planets by their loyalty and strategic importance. All that matters is my son, my husband, and those I love and know, and who know me back. Of all the people that lived in these last 700 years, none know the minds of the Zhen Lun as I do now. None know the weight, the fear, the anger, the ambivalence, the pride, the love, the disgust, the disappointment, the hope, the utter frustration of ruling over billions of souls. Octavia lost her husband and daughter. If I lost my son and husband,
Could I go on? Or would I grow to be the villain of someone else's story?
Waving my hand at the curved glass wall of the sphere, I watch the earth grow until it consumes the entire pane. I fly amongst the peak of mountains, along the cool fingers of Eurasian rivers running toward the sea. I rotate my hand and find the great mechanical prison, deep grave, trundling along beneath the surf. And with the flick of a finger, my sight races to Mercury. Much is white and black, to signify old images. Many telescopes have been destroyed in the war. But through the swirling clouds of the Hypercane, I glimpse a society bastion, a mobile operations command city upon the desert sands. A jam field covers Heliopolis, where my husband licks his wound. What hell does he suffer? What greater hell does he prepare for his enemies? It is torture to see and not to know. But worse still, to know and not be able to affect. I hope he knows we have not abandoned him, that I still love his heart, despite its weight and anger and complications. I love him so much I cannot bear to think of him. I turn the sphere to look down at the new forum, where the Senate is soon to assemble. A grand crowd, a million strong, pours through the great citadel gates beneath the Selenius Arch to witness the vote. According to the compact, the tribunes decide if the public should witness. Despite the fever, they are right to include them. It will be beautiful when Dancer and I unite the Vox and the Optimates in common cause, when Publius's betrayal fails to hijack the vote. It will be a victory for our way of life and our means of governance. In the plaza east of the new forum, vendors sell sticky sweets and steam swirls up from hot spiced Martian wine. Children hold their parents' hands. Men carry icons of their political religions. The Vox with upside-down pyramids, broken chains. Some broadcast my head with a bloody crown from hollow projectors on their shoulders. The Optimates stand in small clutches with plastic sling blades, or Pegasuses, or lions projected into the air. "Don't look too bloody damn happy," Severo mutters behind me. Dancer still has to prove he's not a load of steaming shit. And you have a queen to kill. I cycle the sphere until old Tokyo fills the view. The megacity of Earth sprawls in the night. With the information gleaned from the Duke of Hans's memories, I have found the Syndicate Queen's refuge. 50,000 of my house troops, along with Darrow's 7th Legion, will move in a coordinated strike against Syndicate operations on Earth, Mars, and Luna, while Severo and two cohorts pull the chief weed out themselves. They will do it when all eyes are on me and the vote. "Looking forward to it," Severo says. I turn from the central plinth to find him standing behind me in the sphere with Daxo, fully armoured, wolf cloak on his shoulder, face painted jade green. He is ready for transport. Beside him, Daxo looks the picture of majestic civility in his senatorial toga. His arms are bare beneath the toga, and how mighty those Telemannus limbs look, made for violence, but restrained in favour of words because he trusts me, if not my faith in democracy. Kavak saunters in to join us. He stands quietly behind his son with a hand on his shoulder and Sophocles threading between his legs. Next to Daxo and Severo, both in their prime, he looks pale and old. Even his genes can't hide the ravages of war. His beard has gone white. He still blames himself for Pax's abduction. It has not been an easy road to recovery for him, but he favours me with a smile.
"Niobe is off to Mars to rendezvous with our house fleets and the Ecliptic Guard," he says. "She sends her love, and she'll see you through the fires of the Anihilo. And the bodies," Severo says. "Never forget the kindling."
"Of course, the bodies," Kavak says. "Severo, could you fetch my cane? My legs ache."
"Slag off, old man. I'm not a servant. I'm a terrorist war-
Now!"
Kavak booms. "It's just outside the Crescent Vault. Fetch it, or Sophocles will bite you."
"By myself? That place is creepy shit."
"Fine. Losing your marbles.
Muttering to himself, Severo humours the old man and leaves the sphere. He appears a moment later.
I'll know if you talk about me.
He leaves again. The two telemanuses wait for him to reappear. When he doesn't, they join me in the centre.
We'll bring Thraxa home, I tell Kavax. I will keep that promise.
Kavax glances once more at the door to make sure Severo is gone.
There are things I doubt in this world, he replies in his luxurious private tone.
Intelligence radiates from eyes usually misted by his lifelong ruse.
The constitution of obsidian virtues, the ramifications of universal suffrage, Severo's personal hygiene, my violence on behalf of your father, my wife's mental perspicacity for selecting me for life.
He adopts his public face.
To join in union, a doddering madman, weird woman, addled in the wits, madness, absolute madness.
His internal cleverness reclaims his face.
But never Virginia Au Augustus.
He cups my face.
Daxo told me what you did with Dancer, what you did with Severo. You never get the credit you deserve, my dear, because people are suspect and frightened of what they do not understand. I've hidden myself for so many years from Nero, from the world, but you never have. That is a bravery I cannot understand. You are good, my dear. You are patient when it is not in your nature. You are attentive when you are taken for granted. You are kind when the world insists it is convenient to be cruel. You are good. True good. Victra will bring Pax back. I know this. You will save your husband. You deserve this day. I nod, knowing there's much work left to do. No. Look at me, child.
He turns my chin so that I look deep into the eyes underneath those tangled eyebrows.
It has possessed my thoughts. You deserve this day. You deserve this joy. You deserve this proof that your faith is not just right, but necessary. I find myself in tears, and I can't reason why.
There are things you know, but when revealed to be known by others, can make the world shine in a peculiar way. I feel seen, as only my husband has ever seen me. Kavax dabs the tears away.
There, there, he says, bringing me into a hug.
I've been too busy to see Kavax, or maybe just too frightened to see him weak. How dare I presume his strength is in his body? I hug him hard, and Sophocles paws my leg in jealousy. Always mindful of his father, Daxo scoops the fox up to give us the moment.
Will you come today? I ask, pulling away. No, Kavax says. No, I am tired of all this rancor. I think I will go to the sea with Sophocles. I don't like the citadel without Niobe.
He takes Sophocles back from Daxo.
And I've been promising this one a swim. Haven't I? And you know how passive-aggressive the little prince gets.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Shit in my shoes, in my closet, everywhere. He open-mouthed kisses the fox, who takes perhaps too much enjoyment from it. But we will have dinner tonight, at my estate. A family dinner. For my son.
He sets a hand on Daxo's shoulder, who has done himself proud, resurrected his family's honour, and whom I could not be happier for, except if he found a wife. I want babies to ride Sophocles, or a husband.
He covers Sophocles's ears.
Cloning is always an option, remember?
He laughs to himself.
And my daughter will come too. He looks at me, for she has been the twinkle in my eye since that summer she joined our family.
Severo appears at the door.
The sea, Kavax booms. To the sea I go.
Here's your stupid cane, Severo says.
I need no cane. What am I, an invalid? A dullard? Kavax booms. I just wanted to see if you'd get it. Now who is the dullard? Ha! Man, Severo chuckles.
You're so crazy. After Kavax has sauntered away with his pet, Daxo makes a small noise of distaste. That was emotional. I hope he's not dying. He's not. I just think he's finally realized he's mortal, I say. I think we should clone him, Severo says. Jove, the fox is bad enough, I say. Yes, but could you imagine a child Kavax with that beard? Severo asked. He'd be a right legend. He could marry Electra. I make a face. What? She can't marry Pax. No offence, but he's too smart. And my girl likes being stupid. He scratches his goatee. Bet Mickey would do it. We'd need to keep it secret. Yes. He chews his lip in thinking over the logistics. I could raise him, Daxo says. I've always wanted a worthy child to shape and mould. Severo and I look at each other. Nah, probably a bad idea, Severo says. You know, clones are creepy and all. Always something wrong with the human ones. Daxo is lost, peering at the ceiling in thought. Behind his back, Severo makes a big X with arms at the cloning idea. Be careful on Earth, I say. Old Tokyo is warden territory. Get in, get out, and bring me that queen's head. Attached? If possible. If not, permission to cauterize. And would you mind taking the tunnels out, please? Done. He lurches forward to slap Daxo's ass and stalks out. The smell of wolf lingers. I've thought it over. I think I would be a good father, Daxo says at last. After all, I have a fine example to follow. Chapter 31. Virginia. Day of Red Doves. The day is crisp and clear, and bountiful with the scents of lunar spring. The sky is the colour of young fire. The trees along the promenade that leads from the Palatine Hill through the central Citadel Park to the Forum blaze with colour and life and pungent floral notes. Soldiers stop to salute as my motorcade rolls past. Administrators rush along park paths toward the Forum to make it there in time to watch the vote from the steps. Gaggles of children from the Citadel schools trot along in small packs. Amongst them, Lyria's little nephew, Liam, his eyes gazing wide up at the trees and the monkey cats swinging from the branches with fresh sight. Though Victra took the girl and likely has already disposed of her, Lyria's bravery should be rewarded. I made sure Mickey himself gave the boy his sight months ago. Lion Guard greet me as I arrive at the western entrance to the Forum with Daxo and Holiday. The whole cadre of loyal Optimate senators, golds, greys, whites, and half the silvers wait with 24 Martian senators as Daxo and I disembark. Publius, the incorruptible, stands beside this group, surrounded by dozens of Terran and even a few Lunese senators that I sacrifice my silver alliance to gain. With Holiday standing watch, I shake the traitor's hand. A fine day for a fine moment, Publius says. Couldn't agree more. I take Holiday by the shoulder and step away. After Dancer gives me the vox votes, the crowd may get unruly. We have support legions ready to go on the field of Ares, ma'am. Good, I sigh. This is it then. Ma'am, I turn back to her. It must be said, it is an honour to serve a true sovereign. I don't think I can adequately explain how much that means from someone like her. I nod and step away from the protection of the Lion Guard to that of the blue-cloaked warden, guardians of the Senate and Republic. I begin my ascent up the Forum's western stairs, Daxo at my right, and the phalanx of Optimates and new allies behind in their flowing togas. At the crest, we enter the grand 50-metre-high doors through the stone columns onto the varnished floor. From the southern stairs, Vox Populi make their own entrance, Dancer limping along at the head of 60 strong senators of red, orange, brown, the core of the Vox, and their less zealous allies, blue, green, and violet.
They carry a standard made of raw wood and ugly iron, an upside-down pyramid unadorned with flourishes. Under the watch of the neutral wardens, the two opposing factions descend to their seats as the oceanic sounds of the crowd in the East Park lap into the forum, the obsidian already seated, making it clear they stand apart. If only all knew how far gone they already were. I do not yet take my morning chair down in the centre of the Senate pit. I walk around the rim of the pit to the east door, where several stout grey wardens stand guard. I look down the eastern stairs, past the line of wardens and antimatter pulse shields that stretch between metal pylons at the base of the stairs to the park below. A sea of humanity fills it, their disparate faces distorted by the shields, so that they look like the confetti brushstrokes of a Frankish impressionist. Roars of approval and condemnation lap against me. I smile. Soon they will witness the vindication of our way of governance. Senators of the Republic, you are convened today in common assembly to vote upon a matter of dire urgency, I say from the discomfort of my chair. The senators surround me, looking down from their seats on the tiered marble steps. Much has been made of the divide between our peoples. Today, I hope to see that divide closed. A resolution has been put before you by Senator Telemannus. Senator? Daxo stands to his imperious height. The optimists shout acclamation. He looks around with vibrant eyes and that clever mocking smile. Being that the greater strength of our veteran legions are trapped behind enemy lines, due, in no small part, to our own befuddled hands, I reintroduce that very same resolution which was voted down one long month ago. The optimates stamp their approval. Prior arguments against this resolution disparage the strength of those free legions. The optimates guffaw. The Vox rumble in discontent, and contended that they would capitulate to the strength of the enemy before rescue could avail them, that they would fold. Laughter from the optimates. That the Reaper of Mars was but a shadow of his former self. No, no, roar the optimates. While the Reaper has much to answer for, the Vox murmur agreement, he has been embraced by the troops as the commander in the field, and it would be folly to discredit their wisdom on this day. The free legions live. With their victory, we can see that such pessimism, such defeatism, such, he wants to say, cowardice, but a look to me reminds him to stay his tongue and preach conciliation. Caution was unfounded, and while it is a courageous notion to hold fast our lines, to protect our spheres with all our might, I cannot see a world in which we, my good men, my good ladies, can rest our weary heads and look ourselves in the mirror, knowing we condemned our brave fellows to death. Therefore, I reintroduce my resolution to grant the sovereign wartime imperium over the defense fleets, so she may, in her wisdom, prosecute this war to its rightful and expedient conclusion. As Daxo sits, the optimates stand with a roar. And outside, the smaller part of the crowd echoes their agreement as they watch the great projection of the Senate that streams above the forum. But the greater part, the low colours with their more numerous constituencies, wait for the man who has bound them together and given them a voice as loud as any gold in the society. Dancer politely waits for the other blocks to speak. The Silvers sit in silence. I have half their votes, if not their love. Votes from those who fear my wrath outweighs their fear of Quicksilvers. The coppers also sit in silence. I look to Publius and tilt my head. It is his turn to stand. Yet he demurs, passing his time to the next block. I try to catch his eye. Something has changed. This should be where the trap springs and he denounces me. Has he made a deal with Zahn? Does he know I have Dancer? My internal comm beeps a priority message from Theodora. Keeping my face blank, I allow it through. My sovereign, Severo has a priority one message from Earth. I instruct her to put it through to Daxo as well. Dancer eases to his feet. The rugged man in brilliant white looks at me with a soft smile of reassurance as I wait for Severo's message. It is good today that the weather is fine and bright, that so many of our concerned citizens parted with the rigours of their own lives, and many rigours there are, to attend this assembly lifts my heart. He tries hard to match Daxo's eloquence, but is more at home with simpler diction. How far we have come in 10 short years from the darkness of society. How many of you could envision this day? Not as some dream, but as reality. Few. Very few, I wager. Even Fichtner Barker, the father of this revolution, had doubts, as did I. He smiles, perhaps remembering the pain of those long years with the sons. My fellows, you are to be congratulated for your part, small as it may seem, in making this grand experiment possible. He hiccups softly before continuing. Our union is based not on our shared past, but on our hopeful future. He frowns in irritation as a brown senator behind him hiccups loudly into her sleeve. Yet, even now, agents of the enemy seek to divide that. Mustang! There's fear in Severo's voice. He's out of breath. I hear boot steps on metal grating. Mustang! Bone riders in old Tokyo. Trap! There's an explosion and the feed cuts to static. Bone riders. I hear blood in my ears. I look over to Daxo. Billions are watching on live stream. I can't leave. We need this vote now. Theodora will have to take point. She'll dispatch units to aid Severo. Bone riders. How could it be possible? They should still be imprisoned in Deepgrave. Has the prison been penetrated yet again? Are they working with the Syndicate? It makes no sense. It has to be a trick. Severo must be mistaken. If Severo is not mistaken, this is exactly the sort of public venue where the Bone Riders would like to make a splash. I look up and search the ceiling, as if I'll find a bomb hidden there. The forum was checked 12 times by Holiday and the Warden. It has to be clean. If old Tokyo was a trap, then how did the Syndicate know I was coming? A mole? Do they count on me cracking the Duke? I whisper for the Pegasus Legion units I have on standby, north of Hyperion, to come to the Citadel to join my Lion Guard on the field of Ares. Outside the forum, Holiday goes on high alert. Another hiccup escapes Dancer's lips, and he reaches up with a hand to scratch his throat. Our gold enemy profits when we are divided. He clears his throat roughly. So today, I seek an end to that. A great mucus-filled hiccup escapes his lips and his hands wrench into a cramped infantile movement to pour at his chest. The red senators beside him rustle in concern. But then another hiccups in their ranks. And another. Using the shoulders of the senators beneath him, Dancer pulls himself upright, his eyes confused and unfocused. Today, I seek to... Then comes the horror. A clump of blood and lung tissue vomits out of Dancer's mouth. It bathes the togas of the senators beneath him in red pulp. Hands windmilling, he topples over onto their heads. They collapse under the weight, and with shouts set him on the ground. Panic swirls around Dancer as he contorts violently on the stone, blood dribbling from his bodily orifices. His eyes bulge from his head, and his hands paw the ground. Publius rushes to cradle his head. Gas! I shout, holding my breath. But the pathogen detectors do not wail. The room does not seal and vent, and my personal defense ring around my wrist continues to blink silver, detecting no abnormalities. I summon the Lion Guards, waiting underneath the forum, but none reply on my internal comm. None come through the interior doors. I connect to Holiday. Evacuation protocol.
The wardens are likely compromised. Fire if they move to engage. Already moving to the west door. Support. Lion guards unresponsive. Daxo rushes me along with the gold and grey senators, and they form a wall around my person. Through their shoulders I watch Dancer and his lieutenants die, helpless to stop it. The Vox Populi shout in anger, in fear, calling for Medici as the yellow senators push through their ranks to come down the stairs. But then one stumbles and grips his chest before heaving his own blood onto the floor. Amidst Vox Populi, the clutch of Dancer's most stalwart, moderate lieutenants reel, beset by the same violent malady. Blood pours from their convulsing bodies as their limbs flail in atavistic dance, and those around them are torn between helping and running for fear that the pathogen is carried in their blood. "Wardens, help them!" someone shouts. But the wardens above, around the rim of the Senate pit, do not rush to give aid. In their green cloaks, they watch without pity or connection, and then file out the doors. On the floor, Dancer's spasms have subsided. His blood smears Publius's face and hands. He pulls back from the copper to look up at me with eyes wild and white as a dying horse's. His mouth opens, a bloody, twisted maw. He mouths something to me, but his voice has been robbed from him and no sound comes out. "He's dead," Publius whispers. "O'Farron is dead." The hope in